see. Okay, good.
Thank you very much.
Hello? Yeah. Good afternoon. So I will talk about, I will take you to the country of California. So you were just in Bangladesh and you will be in two other countries, but this will be now in, about California. And it will be different. We looked at provider level data, not at clients. But the similarity is actually that the previous presentation tried to do an experimental design in the real world, in the field, and so do we. We try to as well to see, get some data and make sense of something that is out in the real world, and often it's often observational data. I don't have any relationships to disclose. And the research was funded by the Office of Population Affairs, but all conclusions and mistakes are ours, of myself and my colleagues. So I work for the Bixby Center for Global Reproductive Health, which is located in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology and Reproductive Sciences. And out of the more than 100 domestic and international projects, the one of the largest projects is the evaluation of California's Family Pact program. So, and additionally, we received then funding also from OPA to compare and contrast Title X providers with non-Title X funded public and private providers in various dimensions to achieve better patient access, quality of care, outcomes, and control costs. I will talk about the one of the patient access components. And let me ask you, how many of you have heard about Title X? Good. Kind of. So, I will explain for those who haven't heard about Title X programs what it is in a minute. So, Title X is a federal grant program. It is signed into law in 1970. And is nationwide the only program for low-income women to receive access to family planning programs. They are administered through the state health departments or regional agencies. And in California, it's the California Family Health Council who issues then a request for proposals, and clinics and providers, Planned Parenthoods, etc., can get those Title X funds. In 2009, there were nationwide 4,500 clinics that received those funds. The Title X funds, they can be used for a variety of services that you see posted there for access and outreach. So they can hire, you can hire an additional person to provide evening services, or to do marketing and outreach to vulnerable or hard-to-reach groups. The clinic can use it to infrastructure support, implementation of electronic technologies, for example, do provider training, and then hopefully through the provider training you have better access to care, that, for example, IUCs and implants can be provided on-site, and as well they can use Title X funding to train interpreters or to hire trained interpreters, or to use the language line, which as well costs money. So it's kind of like, often we call it like wraparound services that you can use Title X programs for. And often as well in other states, they have to use it for direct services because they have to, for example, to purchase the IOCs so that they have them in stock. But you don't need that actually in California, because we have the Family Pact program, which was established by the California legislature in 1996, and to provide family planning and reproductive health services to California's uninsured, low-income residents, independent of their legal status. So as well, undocumented women are served there. It's state and federally funded, undocumented with state funds. And any public and private Medicaid provider, which is called in California Medi-Cal, can enroll into the program and become a Family Pact provider, and then they can get reimbursed for their, on a fee-for-service basis for their services, and for all FDA-approved methods. Actually, they are required to either offer all FDA-approved methods either on-site or by referral. So it's a large program. It served in 2009-10 1.82 million clients, 14% by male, 17% adolescents. And we have 2,183 providers enrolled. One provider can have a lot of different clinicians on board. And we have you have public sector providers, which are Planned Parenthoods, county health departments, federally qualified health centers, rural health centers, etc. And in order to apply for Title X funding in California, you have to be a family PACT provider. And additionally, we have 1,257 private sector providers, which are mainly solo and group medical offices. So we have three groups. We have a family PACT program, which provides fee for service and kind of has unique family standard. Everybody has to provide the same type of service. And then you have Title X public providers, non-Title X funded public providers, and private providers. And the question is now, how do they kind of difference? So how is the Title X, the left box Title X provider, to what extent can they use their Title X funding to enhance clinic efficiency and provide services to vulnerable population when compared to the two other groups? That is what I will talk about. The whole project is has a lot of other layers. And in all, so we looked at, we did a provider survey and wanted to look, picked now four criteria here. Extended clinic hours, outreach to vulnerable groups, availability of technology, and interpreter services for limited English proficient clients. We sent the survey to everybody of the over 2,000 family PACT providers, and you see on the left side the percentages. Title X clinics, nearly everybody responded to the survey because California Family Health Council really helped us to get this in. They were the main piece. And as well, and 46% and 40% of the other two groups responded to the survey. And the reason it was, here you see a description of those three provider tribes. They are a little bit different. One thing is what we did was to ask the clinics, the providers, how many clinicians work at your clinic who provide full-time, like reproductive health services, and how many hours do they work on average? And from that we calculated the full-time equivalent or number of clinicians. And the average for Title X clinics was 3.8 full-time equivalent clinicians at the clinic. The average number of clients they estimated to see each week was 390. Of those, they said 150 are on average family PACT clients, which is 38% of their overall populations are part of the family PACT program. And then the average mean percentage of limited English proficient clients was 44%. You see then for non-Title X public providers, which are often like FQHCs, like federally qualified health centers or something, they are similar in terms of full-time equivalence, average number of clients, but they see on the proportion of family PACT clients to their total proportion is lower. And private clinics tend to be smaller, like often, as I said, one or two clinicians who are group or solo practices, and see less clients. And as well, it's 22% of their population are family PACT providers. But you see that on average, proportionately, they see more limited English proficient clients. Because sometimes you have one Vietnamese solo practitioner and 95% of his or her practice are Vietnamese speaking and limited. So then we asked them as well for provider specialty, and you see that on the upper chart of the blocks that most of the Title X clinics in green self-identify as family planning and women's health clinics, 47%, whereas non-Title X publics tend to be, most of them are primary care multi-specialty clinics, and private providers, it's half-half in terms of their specialty. And then we asked them for extended clinic hours, and we asked them, like, do you provide morning, afternoon services, evening, Saturdays, Sundays? And we did then a point system, so if you had your clinic open more than 7.5 days per week, you got a point. If you were open at least two evenings in the week, and or all evenings, you got a point. Anytime on Saturday, anytime on Sunday, you could have up to 5 points. The big difference you see here actually is in the middle of our column, that that it's 61% of Title 10 clinics have extended any kind of combination of extended clinic hours, so it's easier for people to come after hours or on the weekend. In terms of outreach, we asked them, do you do any kind of those outreach to vulnerable, hard-to-reach groups? And you see like how many the overall frequencies of groups that they outreach to. And here you see it by Title 10 and by private and the other provider types. And overall, the Title 10 clinics always have the highest number percentage of doing outreach to groups at risk, mostly to teens, males, limited English proficient, and between 20 and 20. And then you have privates, the least are likely to do outreach, makes sense. Sometimes they don't do a lot of outreach. And non-Title 10 publics are here very much in between. Electronic health records, we ask them, do you have it in place? Are you planning to have it in place? The interesting, in the next 4 months, in the next 12 months, if you look all the way down, 31% of Title 10 clinics say that they have already electronic health record systems in place, compared to the percentages of the other two groups. And then we ask for all sorts of other technologies that they might have, and you see overall, as well, Title 10 clinics report more likely to have it in place, with the exception of electronic prescriptions, and we think that may be because they often have on-site dispensaries, so the need of having an electronic prescription system may not be that much there as perhaps in other clinics where then the patients have to go to a pharmacy. Then we asked them, did you have any use of interpreter services, ever used it? And on the bottom tier, you see the yes responses. Over half of the clinics, the Title 10 clinics, said yes, they did any kind of languages use it, and the other ones far less. And then we asked them Spanish language availability. Do you have bilingual staff on available, or do you have clinical and so non-clinical and support staff in this language, and do you provide medical interpretation training? Good news is for Spanish, it's covered pretty much across the three groups. Bad news is medical interpreter training is relatively low, even for Title 10 clinics. And that's a whole discussion of itself, in terms of to make sure that somebody who is Spanish-speaking really kind of like does a good interpretation. In terms of Cantonese language availability, it's definitely lower percentages. As well, Title 10 kind of has is more likely to have clinical or non-clinical staff on board, hardly any medical interpretation training for people who are Chinese-speaking. And for Vietnamese, as well, you see a similar picture. And then, for example, privates even higher to report than non-clinical, than non-Title 10 funded public providers. So we had then tried then to construct a small regression analysis, and we had as independent variables different provider and clinic characteristics. As you noticed, Title 10 funding, of course. Then whether it was a private or a public provider, and what kind of specialty they had, and full-time equivalent number of full-time equivalent clinicians. As a proxy for the size of a clinic, because if you have a large clinic, of course, you may be more likely to do outreach or something. And the one of the dependent variables was then the expanded clinic access, so how for the number, the hours, no, and the that you had. And you see that at Title 10 funded clinics was more likely to significantly more likely to have expanded clinic hours when you controlled for provider type, specialty, or full-time clinicians on board. But as well that the specialty has an independent has a significant impact, and actually primary care providers are more likely to have expanded clinic hours than family planning specialists. So, which is interesting because you see most of them are actually non-Title 10 funded, but that is, but in the family planning community, they often we often complain that we don't really have that much funding. So, without Title 10 funding, it's not that good. When we looked at outreach, Title X funding was as well significantly made an impact on the likelihood of having outreach when controlling for the other pieces, but provider type as well was as well more likely to have an impact on the likelihood of doing doing outreach. As I said, like private providers are significantly less likely to do it. And as well, the specialty as well as slightly negative impact of and disadvantage of family planning providers. Size, interestingly, did not matter when controlling for the other variables. And when we looked at technology, whether the technology was in place or not, then Title X funding was significant related when controlling for the other variables, but nothing else. So in conclusion, the Title X funding can help safety net family planning providers to strengthen infrastructure, and that's especially important for the healthcare reform, because it was you're supposed to have electronic health records in place, and you have and the big question is then as well, what happens once healthcare reform is in place and every providers will want to have the insured persons, but what happens to the people who are vulnerable and who perhaps require more time because they have more complicated substance abusers, teens or something? Can you reduce barriers to care? Are you still interested in providing language services? And to improve clinic efficiency through technology. So this is the one of many findings which we hope to produce. We will then as well in other places then look at the quality of care and outcomes of comparing those different groups. So this is my contact information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.